So how are you doing? Yeah? There is this big orange thing in the sky that we haven't seen in quite a while. And driving in this morning as it was coming up and it got brighter and I had to close my eyes and almost went off the road. No. So it feels good to have that sun back out for a while. So, and I can't think of any better place to spin the palindrome. Right? Nobody knows what a palindrome is? Today is a palindrome. Today is a palindrome that has not happened in over 900 years. So we are making history. A palindrome is basically a series of characters, numbers, or letters, or whatever, that read the same forward and backwards. So, 2, 0, 2, 2, 0, 2, 0, 2, 0, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. It's the same forwards and backwards. So it's a palindrome. We are experiencing history that hasn't happened in 900 years. So I want to thank you for spending this part of your palindrome with us. And for being here. Next week is not a palindrome, so nobody's welcome next week. You just get one shot at a palindrome. Come back in 900 years when the next palindrome happens. No, we would love to have you come back next week. Because I can't think of anything better to figure out on a palindrome than how to trap a monkey. Have you ever wanted to know how to trap a monkey? Now, you may be sitting there going right now and going, why would I ever want to trap a monkey? That's a different conversation. But if you've ever wanted to know, or if you've ever come across a need to know how to trap a monkey, this is how you trap a monkey. You take a coconut. This is true. You can look this up. We've modified it a little bit for our illustration purposes, but you take a coconut and you hollow out the coconut. And usually what you do is you hollow it out from one end and you make a hole in it and you hollow out the coconut. And then you put a hole in the other end and you attach a rope to it. And we have a rope attached to it. You just can't see it real well because we've modified it for our purpose. And then you take that rope and you tie the other end of the rope, the one that's not secured inside the coconut, and you tie it to a tree. And then inside the hollowed out hole of the coconut, you put a banana. This is true. You can look this up. You could get your phone out and look it up right now. This is true. So there's a banana inside the coconut. And the coconut is attached. And so then here's what happens. The hole that you have hollowed out is large enough for the monkey to get its hand inside. But when the monkey grabs a hold of the banana and the size of the fist holding the banana grows, the monkey cannot get its hand outside the banana. And so the monkey is holding onto the banana inside the coconut and is pulling against the coconut that's tied to a tree. Now, that's how you trap a monkey. But the interesting thing is, not all monkeys can be trapped this way. There is only a certain kind of monkey that can be trapped like this. Do you want to know what kind of monkey can be trapped like this? The one that will not let go of the banana. That's it. The one that will not let go of the banana is the one that gets trapped. So in this case, we don't actually trap a monkey. The monkey traps itself. And so if you've ever thought, how can life be better? Or how can I be better at life? Here's a question. What are you holding on to that's making a monkey out of you? And for those of you that want to check out a little early or drift off into your mid-morning nap or want to start thinking about lunch, here is the bottom line application of this entire message today. let go of the banana. Whatever it is that you're holding on to that's making a monkey out of you, just let go. There may be something. What are you holding on to that's holding you back from better? It may be some kind of regret from a past decision that just continues to eat away at you because you haven't figured out any way to let it go. It may be something that you're in the midst of right now, and you're wrestling through whatever it is right now. It may be some kind of a secret that you're keeping, something going on in your life that you hope no one ever finds out, and you hope that no one ever knows about this. Somebody already knows. Somewhere, someone knows. They may not know what it is. And especially if you're trying to keep whatever it is from those people closest to you, those people closest to you know. They may not know what it is, but they know something's not right. And if they could say something to you today, they would say, let go of the banana. It may be something that you're trying to keep from God. And you're keeping God at a distance in relationship because whatever it is that you're holding on to, you don't want God to know, or you don't want God to hold against you. When we are holding on to something to keep from God, really what we're doing is holding off on the kind of relationship that God desires to have with us. If we want life to be better, and we want to be better at life, we need to discover a way to let go of whatever we are holding on to that's holding us back from better. The early church leader Paul wrote a letter to the first century church in Rome in which he addresses the impact, the effects of holding on to something can have. And then he gives an alternative that encourages us to let go. So he starts this part of the letter that he writes to the early church in Rome. And he says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Now, the images that we conjure up when we hear or read this word slave make us really, really uncomfortable. And with good reason. But both of our kids went through a stage where when we would ask, tell, make, it's usually the progression, right? Them do things. Both of them at one time popped off with the phrase, I feel like I'm your slave. And so at one point, I'd had it. And I said, you have no idea what being a slave is really like. And so I either got my computer or the iPad or whatever device it was, and I went out to YouTube, because YouTube is now the cure-all for everything. And so I went out to YouTube, and I searched clips from the movie Roots. And we sat down, and I said, if you want to know what being a slave is like, watch this. And I pushed play, and they sat there and they watched. And I said, when you tell mom and dad that we are making you our slaves, that's what you're telling us. And they said, that's exactly what we mean. No, they didn't say that. They both said, "We're so sorry, we had no idea." And the, rightfully so, this idea of being a slave makes us really uncomfortable. But what Paul says is, and notice how he starts this. He says, "Don't you realize?" He's saying, this is a big deal. Don't you understand? Don't you know? Haven't you learned by now? Pay attention to this. This is a big deal. You become a slave to whatever you choose to obey. When we choose to obey something, we are allowing it in some form to have control over our life. When we say yes to something, there are things that we say yes to that all of a sudden have us trapped. And we can't figure out how to let go. We can't figure out how to release that. And it's like taking the rope that is tied to the tree and continually just pulling and pulling and pulling and tugging and tugging. And guess what you never do? You never break free from it. If that is not being enslaved by something, then I don't know what is. But Paul says that we choose. What we choose to obey is what we become slaves to. And he says, this is a big deal. Don't you realize? Pay attention to this. And then he goes on to start delivering the options of our choices. He says, go ahead. He said, you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. Now, I don't know about you, but that option doesn't seem all that appealing. That option doesn't seem to lead down the path to better. Sin that leads to death. Yeah, I'm thinking if I have a choice, and he said you choose, I think I would try to choose another option. So to really kind of get a handle on this, let's talk about what sin is. Okay? So in the definition of sin is so simple that we almost don't want to understand it on purpose. We want to avoid it because we don't like the idea of it any more than we like the idea of being enslaved to it. And so the idea of sin, the definition of sin, is one of those window rather than mirror things. And if you've been around very long, you've heard me say that about other things. But sin, the window versus mirror thing is, it's something that we see through the window at everybody else, but we don't see it in the mirror at ourselves. And this idea is a big deal. This affects everything. This affects our relationships with others. This affects our relationship with God. And this reflects our relationship with the person we see in the mirror. And he says, let's just be clear. Let's understand what sin is. And here's the simplest definition of sin. So simple, we don't want to understand it. But here we go. Sin is doing things our way instead of God's way. That's it. We choose one way or the other. Our natural inclination is to want to do things our way. We want what we want, and we figure out how to get what we want, and that's it for us. But there's also another path that says there's God's way. It is, and when we choose this, we never intend to end up where we don't want to be, right? No, nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, Today, I'm going to make a series of decisions that are going to hurt people, that are going to damage relationships, that are going to eventually lead me to a place I never want to be. I mean, most of us don't do that. But yet then we walk out the door and we sometimes do that. And here's one of the things with sin. Sin always causes damage. It always damages relationships, perception, reputation, relationship with God. Sin always causes damage. But Paul goes one step further and says, not only does it cause damage, but it destroys things. It kills things. Sin causes death. And we all know this because we've all experienced it in some way. There was a time when someone lied to you or lied about you. There was a time where someone took something from you. There was a time where someone stole your boyfriend or girlfriend in high school. And guess what that did to the relationship with the person who stole your boyfriend and girlfriend? It killed it, didn't it? It not only damaged it, it destroyed it. There was a time where you were up for a promotion at work and somebody else got it because they lied, they cheated, they stole your promotion. And guess what happened to that relationship? It was damaged, wasn't it? And sometimes it's destroyed altogether because that's what sin does. Or there was a time when you lied, or you stole, or you cheated, and the fallout from your choice was the destruction of a relationship, maybe even a relationship that mattered to you. And Paul says, you can become a slave to sin. But here's the deal with sin. It always causes damage and it always destroys. Sin leads to death. And sin leads to the death of what you think about the person you see in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, sin destroys your confidence. And sin kills your peace. And when there is no confidence and when there is no peace, we will struggle to find a path to life being better today than it was yesterday or a year ago, or it will be a year from now. So Paul says, You can choose. You can be a slave to sin. But know that this is what sin's going to do. And then he gives another alternative, which is better in every possible way. He says, or, got it? Might be two slides. Oh, yeah, here, let's run through this one because this is too good not to do. Here's kind of a general rule of thumb with sin. And the decisions that you make with sin. If it's not good for God in you and those around you, it's just something you shouldn't do. You can write that down. If it's not good for God in you and those around you, it's just something you shouldn't do. Imagine how much better at life we would be if we just filtered our decisions through that. If it's not good for God and me and those around me, then I'm not going to do it. And then Paul gives us this alternative. And he says, or, I love that word, or, so here's your choice. You can do this, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. we tend to get uncomfortable with the word obey, because obey means somebody got to tell us what to do and we did it, and we usually don't like to do what anybody tells us to do. We like to do what we want to do. But he says that obeying God leads to righteous living. In other words, there is a right and wrong thing to do. When we choose to obey God, we are choosing to do the right thing. And here's the thing. Doing the right thing isn't always easy. It's the right thing, but not always the easy thing. But there is nothing like being able to put your head down on the pillow at night and say, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I do know that I did the right thing. And there are very few things that torture our souls like standing in front of the mirror and going, wow, I chose the wrong thing, and I have caused damage in the process. And there are things in all of our lives that we make the decision to do or not to do that we then don't follow through on. Yesterday, Danielle's basketball team had a tournament in Brownsburg. And usually, one of the commitments that I make going into every one of their games is to keep my mouth shut. You know, that if I'm going to say something, what I'm going to say is going to be an encouragement to the girls on the floor and to build them up and to motivate them and to encourage them and all of that. And so that works for the first couple of quarters. So this is a real specific example, but like yesterday, game was going, everything was going great, encouraging the girls, great job, great pass, great shot, way to go. And then all of a sudden, at one point in the game, something changed. And it became clear that the referees were no longer calling this game in a fair way. And they called the game so blatantly unfair that one girl on the other team began to dominate, and they literally started pulling this game away from Danielle's team. I cannot tell you how many times I had to tell Denise to stop talking. No, here's what changed. In the first 2.5 quarters, it was great job, girls, keep working, you're doing great, everything's great. To all of a sudden, in the last quarter and a half, it was, seriously, 55's in the lane again. Seriously, hey, girls, they're not going to call another foul on 55, so just deal with it. She's had 4 fouls since the middle of the third quarter, and they're not going to call another foul on her. Oh, look, she traveled again. Oh, now she went up with the ball and took her other hand and literally punched a girl in the stomach. You couldn't see that? I could see it from here. What are you, blind? And so last night, when I put my head on the pillow, there was a big part of me that's like, should have kept your mouth shut. Oh, but it felt good. And that's the thing. That's the thing with these decisions. Oh, but it felt good. In the moment, this is going to make me feel so good. This is going to make life so much better. And then all of a sudden, it only complicates things and makes life more difficult and more stressful. And we can come up with 100 reasons why we needed to do it, right? Oh, yeah, you know, at lunch. Yeah, you know, I'm good and can be encouraging, but when it becomes about injustice, I have a problem with injustice. And so somebody has to speak out on injustice. We can justify and rationalize any decision that we want to make. And Paul says we have a choice, that we can put our heads down on the pillow at night and go, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I did the right thing. Or we can put our head down on the pillow at night or look in the mirror and go, oh, seriously, I have no idea why I decided to do that. I had 100 reasons why, but no good reason why. So Paul says, your choice. You can be a slave to sin. You can put your hand inside that coconut. You can grab hold of that banana and you can pull till your arm falls off. But you are not going to break free until you just let go of the banana. So then he says, thank God, once you were slaves of sin. He's talking to the people. And here's the deal. He's talking to early followers of Jesus in the first century church in Rome. But have you ever noticed this isn't a follower of Jesus thing. This isn't a church thing. You don't experience this kind of tension between being a slave to sin or obeying God because you've sat in church for 200 years, right? You don't experience that tension because of that. And you don't experience that tension whether you've chosen to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus or whether you're connected to God. You don't experience that because of that, right? You experience that. I experience that. We experience that because guess what? We experience people. This is a people thing. This is the decision to do the right or wrong thing. As followers of Jesus, we filter it through the lens of what God desires for us. And if you're not connected to God and you're still kicking the tires on relationship with God and all that, here's the thing. God is against sin. But God is not against sin because he's against you. God is against sin because God is for us. And he doesn't want what he is against, sin, to hold us back from what he wants for us, which is relationship with him. So God, who loves you just as you are, but too much to leave you that way, is saying, sin leads to this, and I don't like it. But the better path of aligning with me leads to this, and I'm all about that, and that's what I want for you. And Paul says to them, once you were slaves of sin. There was a time when you were trapped by the choices and decisions you made that didn't align with the things of God. He says, but now, it's a different time now. You've chosen something different. You've embraced a new way of thinking, a new way of living. But now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching about the things of God and about what it means to follow Jesus that we have given you. There was a time when they were trapped, and now there's a time when they're not, because they had embraced a new way of thinking. And there's one of the translations says that they have pledged their allegiance to it. There is a new way of life that they have been told and taught, and there's a new way of life that they have been invited to, and they have pledged their allegiance to it. I love that word, wholeheartedly. With everything they have, they are now obeying. They are following the ways of God by following Jesus. And it is this same invitation that is extended to each and every one of us. We are invited to follow Jesus. Extending this invitation out of his great love for us, just as we are, but too much to leave us this way, cost God something. It cost him his son, who gave his life to redeem us from sin that leads to death and to restore right relationship with God. So, let's cycle all the way back to the beginning and ask a question. What are you holding on to that's holding you back? Don't hold on to anything that's holding you back from looking in the mirror and being good with who you see. Don't hold on to anything that is holding you back from God-honoring, healthy relationships with those around you. Those closest to you love you, and they want nothing but better for you. And don't hold on to anything that is holding off on the relationship that God desires to have for you. No matter what it is, no matter what it is that's holding you back from being better, just let go. Let me pray for you this morning. Dear God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this letter that Paul wrote that speaks so directly, yet so poignantly into my life and really into all of our lives. Thank you for loving us just as we are, but too much to leave us there. And thank you for giving us a solution in Jesus to be able to let go of the things that so easily trap us and enslave us, and for providing an alternative which is better in every way. As we prepare to dismiss today, God, thank you for the food that has been provided, for all those who have helped organize this time together, and for all those who will stay. May the food nourish our bodies, and may the time together and the conversation nourish our souls. And may each and every one of them honor you and encourage us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.